And welcome to episode 6 of the Pwncast of Rock. This is the episode that will make all the girls swoon. Talking about Draco. For Pwncast, I'm Dan.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Cody.
And welcome to the place where the music never ends. Why, Julia, why are you doing that?
Oh, no reason, just that I totally got to do it on stage Saturday night with the Remus Lupins. Ah, spaz.
Fulfilled the lifelong goal.
Oh, God, yes, I can retire now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, retire from being a Wizard Rock fangirl because it's a full-time job.
Oh, and thank God. So, yeah, I got to go on stage with the Remus Lupins at the Howls and Horcruxes Ball Saturday night. Squee!
I'm so jealous of you. I feel like you're like our field reporter who gets to go out and go to all the shows, and somehow we don't.
Yeah, it's because I am not in school, and... Well, no, that's not true. I am in school. It's because... I don't know. It's because I have no life and I'm willing to do ridiculous things for this fandom. Like, for example, fly from Connecticut to Kansas for the weekend to go see 6 bands in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
And I heard you made a converted Wizard Rock fan out of Chi, finally.
I did. See, Chi's little corner of the fandom is definitely the fanfic arena. And she loves it over there and it's really fun, but she's never... One of the things that she noted to me about that little corner was that they never really have any occasion to get together. So, like, they're all really good friends online, but most of them have never met in person. And so she noted that she was really, like, amazed that we got to the Wizard concert, the Wizard Rock concert, and I knew, like, half the people there. And she's like, how do you know these people? I'm like, well, I've seen them at shows here and there, and it was like, wow.
Because Wizard Rock brings people together.
It does. It does. Oh, hey, you know what else I got to do Saturday night? You know what else?
What's that?
I got to go and do the snaps for the Moaning Myrtles.
Oh, you're a little...
You're like
a
celebrity sound effects manager, it seems, for the ball.
Not quite. Not quite. But it was pretty awesome. Because, you know, during And Then I Died, you have to snap during really, like, specific parts. But if you snap during the wrong parts, it really screws everyone up. So I got to go up there and lead the crowd and snap. And that was pretty awesome.
Amazing.
And if you guys would like to see pictures from this, they are up. I know there are some up on Wizrocklopedia. And I have some up on my Facebook, and I put all those links up on Puffa. So if you want to see them, you can go there. Yay!
Sounds good.
So, on that happy note, we are actually not going to be talking about this for the rest of the episode. We are going to be talking about Draco Malfoy.
Dun dun dun.
A slimy little weasel named Draco Malfoy. We're not using that song in this episode, but I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the first song that we are going to talk about involving Draco Malfoy is from none other than Draco Malfoy himself. Yes. So this is a song about a kid goes to Hogwarts. He gets way too much attention for his own good. And his name's Harry Potter. Actually, it's really not. But if you ever go to a show, you will know that Brian says that like before every song. And it's really funny. So the first song is by none other than Draco and the Malfoys. And it is My Dad is Rich.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
My dad's always there to open all my doors. You have have to call a patroness just to catch a glimpse of yours. My mom says she loves me when she tucks me into bed. How's your mommy doing in the mirror of Erised? My dad is rich and your dad is dead. My dad is rich and your dad is dead. Your dad's on his journey the great beyond. When you're dueling, you might see him come out of someone else's wand. He may have freed our house elf or brought doubt to our family name, but your parents still got toasted by a big green glowing flame. My dad is rich and your dad is dead. My dad is rich and your dad is dead. My dad is rich and your dad is dead. My dad is rich and your dad is dead.
Your blood may be pure, but your heart is spoiled. So tough without Crabbe and Goyle. Malfoy wouldn't be so cool if I wasn't around. I'm his enemy at school, he really wants to get me down.
Draco Malfoy, what's your problem? All your friends think you're rad, 'cause you treat me so bad. Draco Malfoy, what's your problem? All your friends think you're rad, 'cause you treat me so bad.
So cool 'cause you're Slytherin seeker. You're only that good 'cause you're a dirty cheater. You hate Muggleborns like Hermione Granger. I wouldn't be surprised if you became a Death Eater.
Draco Malfoy, what's your problem? All your friends think you're rad 'cause you treat me so bad. Draco Malfoy, what's your problem? All your friends think you're rad 'cause you treat me so bad. Draco Malfoy, what's your problem? All your friends think you're rad 'cause you treat me so bad. Draco Malfoy, what's your problem? All your friends think you're rad 'cause you treat me so bad.
And that was The Foil by Harry and the Potters.
Oh yeah, a little old school wizard rock. What?
So
speaking of old school wizard rock, we are now going to talk about old school Draco, early Draco, from the first books. What do we think about early Draco?
I think it's, I don't know. You really don't know much about his actual character. I mean, he's just kind of like the, I don't want to say stereotypical, but maybe like typical bad guy, kind of like the sort of bad guy. You know, you see in the movies, it's like there's the evil villain you have to defeat, and then there's like the guy who's just an annoyance, yeah. And that's Draco. I mean, he never really does anything that's actually that harmful. He's kind of like the flies he needs to get swatted away.
That's a very good
as far as his role in the books.
It's a good analogy.
And it's so hard for me to talk about this because I've read so many fan fictions about Draco,
I know.
But it's, you know, hard to get
the
canon from,
right? Don't get confused. Well, I think that
fanfic Draco, sometimes good. Canon Draco, never good.
Well, yes, that's true. But I think one of the things that we can say about Draco is that his role really, it evolves along with the rest of the books. Like, in the early books,
yeah,
he's really just this obnoxious kid that just gets in the way and doesn't really do anything. He's really only there to prove how awesome Harry is and how much he really doesn't like this guy.
Like, maybe, like, J.K.R. getting more, I'm not sure if it was, like, her just seeing, maybe I can use this character for more than just the little stereotypical annoying kid, mm-hmm. You know? And you see that a lot in especially 6 and 7. Most in 6, I think.
Well,
right.
I mean, you see him evolve to some extent through the other books, but I don't know.
Well, like the name of the last Harry and the Potter song we did, in literary terms, he would be Harry's foil. I mean,
yeah.
Whereas,
yeah, he is.
Well, yeah.
He's got...
I've seen that to some extent that's Voldemort, but it also, to a lesser extent, is Draco.
I mean, he exists pretty much solely for the purpose of being the rival figure for Harry. And pretty much the way he evolves is the exact opposite that Harry evolves.
Right.
I've always found it interesting to talk about him as a product of his growing up. Think about Draco. I mean, obviously it doesn't excuse him for acting like a jerk, but I kind of sometimes look at it from the perspective of racism, almost, because he's grown up being told that a certain class of people, for a certain reason, are less than him. And I have never been in that situation, so I don't know how that would affect you, but I can only imagine that, I mean, obviously he is responsible for what he does, but to what extent and at what point do you stop saying that... See what I'm saying? That he... When he wasn't exposed to anything different growing up, when would you say, okay, he should make the choice for himself that his family is wrong? That's what I'm trying to say. Like, at what point is it no... Can we no longer say that he is doing this because it's difficult for a kid to think that his parents are wrong without a lot of outside evidence to point him out?
Well, I think it's... You really would have to point at the point in, You would have to point at the Half-Blood Prince, because I think that marks a major turning point, or a potential turning point.
I think he's realizing there, is it? I think he's going through a lot. I mean, I love looking at the character of Half-Blood Prince Draco, and we're going to do that a little later, but I think that would be some of the point where he does start to do that.
I mean, because he had the potential right there to become more than he was, and then he just kind of shrunk down.
Right, and he wasn't. But I also think that, you know, I mean, we can put a lot of this as a product of his upbringing, but, you know, you can't... I mean, that can't take the entirety of... That we can't... There comes a point where you have to choose for yourself. And I think that Draco made that choice...
Yeah, I'm not excusing him.
Probably...
I'm just trying to...
I think he made that choice when he couldn't kill Dumbledore. But I think that he...
He didn't really
make that choice. I'm just going to shut up now, because now I make no sense.
By the time... I think that by the time he gets where he doesn't kill Dumbledore, he is so... He can't get out at that point. I don't think he can. I mean, what is he going to do? Run and Voldemort will kill him?
I think that at
that point, he's kind of... At that point, he's in over his head. He doesn't know what he's getting into. I mean, it's kind of like the kid who's a schoolyard bully and then gets involved with, like, a big city gang and doesn't... Like, by the time he realizes, whoa, I don't want to be doing this, it's... It's too late.
Right. But, I mean, what I think I was trying originally to say was that just because, you know, the product of his... Or this being a product of his upbringing is really not an excuse. Because look at Harry's upbringing, look at Draco's upbringing, and look how different they turned out.
Well, I just meant... I didn't have a bad childhood. I just mean that the conditioning that he went through as far as a moral compass. That's what I was kind of referring to.
Right.
Is it, like, as far as a moral compass, at what point would you say... Like, my brother's 10, and I really don't think he's mature enough, would be mature enough if to say that my parents were racist. They are. I'm just saying, like, what if they... Like, say they were, okay? And I don't think my brother at 10 or 11 would be mature enough to make the judgment that your parents are wrong. So I'm trying to figure out at what point you would... you could rationally expect someone to make that judgment. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think that with Draco... I think it's an interesting thing to look at.
No, I think you're right. I agree with you, because the Draco comes from a different perspective than the rest of us, because, like, growing up, he was never even exposed to the idea that this could be wrong. You know what I mean? So, but I think that he probably... I think he probably started seeing it when he took the Dark Mark and when he couldn't kill Dumbledore, but as you said, by that point, you know, it was already too late.
I sometimes feel bad for him as a character. I mean, I know that I'm not excusing everything he's ever done, but I just feel bad for him, especially in 6 and 7, when you just feel like he got in over his head, you know?
Yeah. I didn't really feel so bad for him in 7, but in 6, I kind of did.
In 7, I felt kind of bad for the family to some extent, because... I didn't feel bad for Lucius. I don't know. I felt like they were kind of, if Draco was carried to this, because he didn't make the choice the first time around that his parents, that, or Lucius did. So I think that Lucius is kind of reaping what he sowed, and Draco is kind of reaping what his parents sowed, so I feel a little more bad for Draco.
Right. But then again, maybe. You also have to look at the character of, like, Sirius. I mean, he grew up in a very, very similar environment, and he turned out...
As I said, I'm not excusing him. I just love looking at him, you know? I just think that's really interesting.
Yeah. So on that happy note, our next song is by Riddle TM, and it's called Draco. Very apropos for this episode. So here you go, guys. Hope you enjoy it.
You always thought that you were better, but you don't have what it takes to be a Death Eater. You're always acting so high and mighty. Oh, can you see? Draco get out. You're gonna end up crying. You're gonna end up dying.
Sitting wondering what has happened to me. Where are you hiding and you will be loved? And are you having a good time? And I know you couldn't possibly be feeling happy. I'm sure you're crying out and feeling crappy. And I wish I could.
Draco, come on.
Why, of course?
Because if you're gonna have your streak, I might as well have my little Oliver Boyd as much as I can get him in there. Except I'm not. So I must have him in every episode.
And I'm trying for my streak. I'm pretty sure we're gonna get Draco the Death Eater in here somewhere. If I can have been somewhere. With it, hopefully.
I think. Maybe. Yeah, somewhere. I think it's probably coming up.
Yeah. All right. So, now we're going to talk. We talked about this a little bit before, just because it's really difficult to avoid this, because it's kind of the most substantial part of Draco's character throughout the 7 books, but him and Half-Blood Prince. So, I know I started talking about this a little bit before, so I'll open it up to you guys, so I don't talk all the time.
You know, I did feel a little bit bad for Draco in this book. And mind you, I am not a big Draco fan at all. I really don't like him. But I did feel bad for him because, you know, the poor guy. I mean, Voldemort just gave him this huge, huge task that there's no way. Like, he knew going into it that he wasn't going to accomplish it. Like, he knew going into it that Snape was going to be the one to kill Dumbledore. But he just had Draco try as in order to punish Lucius.
I think
punish
it also was
Lucius.
To punish, I mean... It's to punish Lucius, but I think it also mentally. I mean, imagine the mental thing of that for Draco. Because
yeah.
It wasn't just... I mean, you have to... I really like looking at the family dynamics of this. Because if you see this in... I mean, you see in Deathly Hallows that, you know, at the end, the three of them are together. So there must be some kind, you know, of family bond between them. Even if it's not what we consider a normal family. I mean, Lucius isn't exactly Ward Cleaver. But...
Mm-mm.
I think that he did have this thing on him, you know... If he failed or if he did something wrong, his family would be in danger. So it wasn't just like... I mean, that's a huge thing to put on someone who's 16 years old.
Yeah.
That if you don't...
That's
do
a huge thing to put on anyone.
If you kill someone, your family's dead. I mean, that's a really
right.
big emotional burden to put on anyone, especially a 16-year-old who has a lot of...
Right.
I mean, it's just... I can't imagine what that would have been like. I mean, even someone who's a jerk... I mean, I know people at my school who... You know, they're not the greatest people in the world, but I don't think they deserve to have that emotional burden put on them.
Right. I mean, he well, gets forcibly put in the kill or be killed mentality, and unfortunately, as you said, he really was not mature enough to handle it.
Right. And I also think that Voldemort did it to show off his own power in order to say, hey, guy, you know what, Draco, your father's not going to get you out of this one. Deal with it.
Well,
and I think it went a long way to showing that, you know, Daddy can't fix everything, and I think it really forced Draco to grow up and realize that he's
yeah,
going to have to deal with his own problems in life.
I don't think that was Voldemort's intention, though. I don't think this was, like, a character
no, I don't
exercise
think,
that he set up. I mean,
no, I don't think it was. I think Voldemort intended that it should just be, yeah, punishment and to prove his power.
But
and
that must, I mean, I feel that that kind of shows that Voldemort knew that there was some kind of bond between... like Lucius and Draco, that it wasn't just like as cold as we might think it would be. You know what I mean? I mean, I know there is some, you know, element of him being his heir, but
right.
I kind of, especially from that, if Voldemort thought that putting Draco under that kind of stress would sufficiently punish Lucius, then he must have thought there was some kind of connection, emotional connection between the two. And
right.
I also think that that was one of Voldemort's biggest mistakes, actually, having Draco. Because I think it came back to bite him with Narcissa. I mean, I really love that character, so I don't want to like belabor this too much. But I think that Narcissa, throughout all of this, I really like how she handled it. Because I mean, obviously, there's not much that she can do as far as you know. She's not going to go to, you know, warrior princess and try to defeat Voldemort. She just tried to keep her family as safe as she can. And I think in the
right.
end, that is what turned her against this cause. I don't think she was in it for good or for evil. She was in it to keep her family safe. And whichever side that just, you know... And I think at the end, that's why she didn't really care if she was betraying Voldemort, because he had stabbed her in the back and stabbed her son by putting this burden on him. So,
right.
by losing that loyalty, I think that Voldemort, you know, shot himself in the foot.
Well, I agree and disagree. I think that Narcissa agreed with Voldemort and that she did want, she did really want a pureblood society, but I think that she was not willing to sacrifice her family for that, and that's where... she had to draw the line. So, I mean, I think she had her reasons for getting in, and it wasn't just to keep
well,
her family safe, because I think she really did believe in the
we
cause.
Don't know if she was a Death Eater or if she was just married.
No, I don't think she. I don't think she had the mark.
I don't think.
I don't
did.
Think she was a Death Eater.
I mean, I agree with Julia. I think Narcissa is one of the best examples of the world is not black and white. It's just a lot of shades of gray.
The world isn't split into good people and Death Eaters.
I mean, yeah, exactly. She may agree with the cause, but she's not so cold-hearted that she's going to sacrifice her family.
I mean, I love to look at Narcissa and Bellatrix. I mean, you see that Bellatrix, her absolute highest priority is, you know, getting Voldemort, you know, is Voldemort, is his cause, whatever he wants to do, morality aside, her own convictions aside, her own well-being aside, which I think is an important point, it does not matter to her. And then you look at Narcissa, who, at first, we just kind of think her as, like, this shallow, you know, there's nothing to her, but I really think that's not true. I think that, you know, yes, she might agree with this cause, but she doesn't think it's worth what, you know, I think, I don't know, I'm rambling here, so I'll shut up. I thought I had a point somewhere in there, but it got lost.
I think you made it sufficiently.
Okay.
So, is there anything else about Half-Blood Prince Draco that we need to talk about? Because we all felt really bad for him when he was crying and moaning Myrtle's bathroom.
Well, yeah, but...
But I think the reasons for that we just discussed.
Well, for most of the book, we don't even know where he is, and that's why the next song is called Where is Draco?
I think that's also metaphorical, though. Like, where is... Like, Draco is not the Draco we used to know. That's what I got from the song, anyway.
Right, well, you can make it twofold, too. I mean...
Of course.
Not everything has... A strictly literal.
Two meanings is always good.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how we roll in the analytical world.
So, on that note, next song is Where is Draco by the Parselmouths.
Really?
Draco, why? Please don't cry.
So you just heard...
I love the Myrtles.
Yeah, you just heard Emo Guy by the Moaning Myrtles. And now we're going to be talking about, Draco in the seventh book as a Death Eater, as whatever he is in the seventh book. You know, he is a Death Eater, I think. God, I can't remember if I'm getting canon and canon mixed up. He did have the mark, didn't he? Yes, he did.
I'm pretty sure
he did. Yes, he took the mark. He took the mark before Half-Blood Prince, and he showed it to Greyback in Diagon Alley in Half-Blood Prince, and he also flinched when Madame Malkin tried to
pull his sleeve up. Yeah, it's coming back.
Yep.
So
Draco really was a Death Eater. Harry was right all along.
Yeah. The one time. Poor Harry, it's like...
Yeah, seriously.
It's like, in first book, it's Snape! And then it wasn't Snape. And then, I don't know. This is like, finally Harry's right, and he's cried wolf so many times that everyone's like, oh, come on, Harry. I don't know.
Seriously.
Enough of the conspiracy theories, yep.
So, what do we think of Draco as a Death Eater? He wasn't a very good one.
Unfortunately, he took he had the opportunity to change for the better after he couldn't kill Dumbledore, and then
what
he kind of squandered
done,
it.
I mean, what could he have done? That's what I'm... I mean,
yeah.
I know I'm the, you know, Slytherin Draco Snape sympathist here, but what could he have done?
Well, he didn't have to go and block Harry in his pursuit of the Horcrux in the last one. I mean, if
What are you talking about, Dan? Like, I'm sure you have a point, you're just not articulating it clearly.
Maybe I'm just tired, just go on.
Wait, maybe. What do you mean? When did he get in Harry's way?
In the, towards the end when they were looking for Rowena's,
Oh, okay, I see. I think that by that point, he had already made his decision, and he was just stuck with it. Because I think that any chance of Draco reforming and coming over to the good side, I think that died with Dumbledore. You know, like, I think that when he couldn't kill Dumbledore, right in that moment, he would have gone to the good side. But only knowing that Dumbledore would have been able to protect him and his family. But without Dumbledore, without that guarantee, it would have been suicide for him to even think about it.
Do you think that if Snape hadn't come along, Draco would have done that? But if Snape hadn't come out there and kind of, like, ruined the mood, so to speak, maybe he would have.
You know, I think...
Because he seemed like he was wavering on it. He seemed like he was almost considering it.
Yeah, I think that it's a tough call, because I think Draco might have done it for himself and for his own ideals, but, you know, what would his mother and father say? You know, he could get himself out, but he couldn't get his family out. And then if his family is still there, you know, it's tricky.
Well, do you think that he knew about the Unbreakable Vow?
I don't... Well,
if he did,
no, Snape told him.
Yeah, but I think that he could... I think he probably knew to some extent that his mother's loyalties weren't entirely with with Voldemort. You know what I mean? That his mother wasn't a Bellatrix.
Right.
So I think he realized that if his mother thought they could get safety in hiding, that she might go along with it, you know?
Maybe, but then what about his father?
Because I'm pretty sure Dumbledore said, we could hide you, we could hide your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could hide your family. He did say that.
He did.
So.
But I don't know, because it's easy. One person, it's easy enough. Two people, okay. Three people, one of whom is, you know, a top-ranked Death Eater.
Well, one of whom was he still in prison at that point, or had they broken out?
No, he was still in prison. But then, once he gets out, you know, who sprung him? Voldemort. What's he gonna do? Just, like, disappear off the face of the earth? Like, Voldemort's gonna expect him to... You know? I mean, when you've got the dark mark, it's not so easy to hide. At least, I think. I mean, we don't know for sure, but...
Well, I don't think there's any tracking... I don't think it has, like, tracking capacity if you're, like, a Ministry of Magic official. I mean, I think that Voldemort... I'm not sure if Voldemort can track them with the dark mark.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Put them in unbearable pain.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, in fanfic, it's really hard... Because I've read so much fanfic that it's hard... That has gone so many different ways.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you can... I don't think we can track them.
Canon, we don't know. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't really say either way in canon.
It doesn't seem like that, because it seems like Snape wouldn't have been able to spy if he had. I guess he could have, but...
Well, define track. Like, I mean, like, know where he is at all times, like, be able to eavesdrop on his conversations, or merely know whether or not he's alive.
Well, I think you might be able to know whether or not they're alive. I don't even know.
I don't know, but let's talk about this in the fanfic section.
Okay, sorry. Well, that wasn't fanfic. That was...
Oh, no, that was an actual discussion.
That was canon.
Sure.
All right.
So...
It was,
and you're right. But did everyone think it was really funny when Malfoy in Deathly Hallows and Malfoy was kind of sniveling? He's like, I'm Malfoy, I'm on your side, let me in! And the Death Eater is just like, wouldn't... I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, I don't know. I just think at that point, he's like, God, I can't go to this side, I can't go to this side. I mean, there was an element of, like, where the heck does he go?
Wasn't it shortly thereafter that Harry and Ron came along and...
Do you think Harry and Ron came along and Draco
saved him?
Like, blocking Harry's way would have been, like... Maybe if I do this, I can get back in with the Death Eaters, because I think that he thought, I have no chance of getting back in with the good side, so maybe if I do this, I'll get back in with the bad side, you know what I mean? I feel like it's kind of like, you're like in an apartment, and you're I don't know, in a hallway or something, and there are two doors, and both of them are closed, and you're just standing out there in the middle, and you want to get in one of the doors, doesn't really matter which. You know you're not going to get in one, so you're going to try to get in the other. That's what I kind of saw, that... He thought he had a better chance of getting back in with the Death Eaters than getting back in with, you know, Dumbledore's side.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that he maybe thought that if he could hand him Potter, it would probably do very well for his own reputation and his own standing within the Dark Order.
Right, and that really demonstrates... the character Draco turns out to be. I mean, he's the pretty much the only,
not for himself.
Pretty much the only thing
Sorry,
he
Cody.
Cares about is himself. I mean,
Sorry,
I
Cody.
think there's actually a song out there that says my best friend is my mirror.
Slytherin, but that's just me.
Mm.
I have a Narcissa fetish. I love that character.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. Once you get past the fact that she's really mean to Harry, but. In her defense...
Did she really that mean to Harry? There was, like, one encounter.
Yeah,
something.
That's true. And in her defense, Harry was being mean to her son, so... It's alright.
Alright. So, on that note, as soon as it was validated, the Draco is a Death Eater series by The Butterbeer Experience.
Yeah.
And you guys get it in somewhere.
Well done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm continuing the streak, so hopefully we can do that next episode, too.
Mayhap.
Maybe.
Mayhap.
All right, enjoy.
Look, guys, it's obvious that Draco Malfoy is a Death Eater. In Madame Malkin's shop, when she tried to roll his left sleeve up, he flinched. Don't you see he has the dark mark there? His father's in Azkaban, and it's obvious his mother's scared. Could Voldemort have given a task for which Draco is not prepared? Look there, read the signs. He's replaced his father at the Dark Lord's side. Draco Malfoy is a Death Eater. Thank you.
haven't slept, I've barely yet. I'm worrying myself sick. I've been fixing this broken cabinet, but none of the charms will stick. I'm usually good at keeping my cool, I mastered diplomacy. But I can't seem to stop crying, and now Potter's gonna freaking kill me. So I raise my wand and mouth the words, Mad Arbella's favorite curse, and oh God, I really mean it. Oh God, I really mean it. But Potter's faster, and what's worse, it's not the hex that I expect. No Expelliarmus or Stupefy, I hear him yell out sect. I'm Sempra and I think I'm dead, but the pain gives me doubt. I clutch at my bleeding chest and I hear that go-ghost shout. Murder, murder in the bathroom, I know I'm facing certain doom, and I just think of my mum. What has he done? And Potter stands there all blank and bloody. Snape saved my neck again. The wound's knit, I bet a high scar. Myrtle floats off down a drain. Later I'm in a cold clean bed and Pansy's in a whirl. You'll never guess what Potter did. He snogged that Weasley girl. Just how twisted is his brain to think that this could be okay? But oh God, I really meant it. Oh God, I really meant it. I've got to carry on. I've got to carry on. Whether this is right or wrong, I've got to carry on. I've got to carry on. I've got to carry on.
And that was Sectum Semper by Split Seven Ways. So let's play a little word association game here. Draco. Leather.
Leather.
What do these words have in common?
I was waiting for that.
Jen, that one was for you. We love you. So if any of you guys do not listen to Potterfic Weekly, or are not members of the Potterfic Forum, A, you should, and you should be, and B, we all have a friend named Jen. And Jen has a thing for Draco and leather. So that right there is a little nod to our good friend.
I actually wrote a fic for her one time, because she made a joke, like, jokingly requested a fic, and then I wrote it for her, and it involved Draco and leather.
Awesome!
And then apparently there was jokes about it on the podcast, and apparently, never mind.
Yeah, but whatever it is, let's not go there.
It was interesting. But, so, Draco and leather. So, basically, the fanfiction characterization of Draco, and obviously, there are fics that are good fics and do not portray Draco and leather.
Clearly.
Let's just get that out there. Draco is not always in leather in fanfiction.
That is correct. I have definitely read many a fic which features Draco in normal robes and not leather. In fact, I don't think I've ever read a fic.
Really bad Draco.
I don't think
fic,
I've
so.
Ever read a fic that has Draco in leather. I just want to clarify that.
I have one. I read the one that has like metaphorical Draco in leather, like that thing. Like, this is not Draco. like you read the character, and I'm like, this has his name, but that is not Draco.
Seriously.
Like, you know, I started to read because I like to read Draco Hermione. I've started to read some, and I'm like, this is a nice guy, but it's not Draco, and then just stopped reading. Mm. But I think that you have to kind of find a median between portraying the canon character and, you know, there has to be some element of, you know, digging deeper and trying to find a new vision of that character and totally making it, you know, ridiculous. You know, you have to try to kind of, like, draw that line somewhere.
Right. I mean, I've read...
And I think each fic does it slightly differently.
Yeah, I mean, I've read enough fic in my life that I can... You know, I've seen Draco portrayed a number of different ways. I've seen him as the next Dark Lord. I've seen him as the guy who ultimately comes around and spies for the Order and saves Harry in the end. I've seen him as, you know, something in the middle. Like, I mean, there are just so many different ways that you can go.
I like seeing fics where someone reaches him at that crucial point of where do I, of him, what, you know, there, I think there's, like, a window at some point in 5 or 6 where he could have been convinced not to go with, you know, with Voldemort.
Right.
Or not to throw us outside. And I like 6 where someone convinces him and...
Right.
I don't want to... you know, talk about the fic that I really like too much, but that's...
Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
...of time. When a lion is fighting,
well,
so...
Well, on...
I don't know. I just like fics, like, I read a lot of fics like that, and I'm not sure if that's a Slytherin thing, like, with my house, but I read a lot of fics where he does come around. I haven't read that many of him being the next Dark Lord. I'm not sure if that's just me wanting to
I'm
not sure if that...
That really depends on what kind of fic you like. Like, I, for example, for years was canon. And so in those, like, Harry, Ginny, Ron, Hermione ships, a lot... Those are the fics where you see Draco becoming the next Dark Lord. But I've recently...
Because you're canon.
I've very recently started to get into... This is my guilty pleasure, and I can't believe I'm admitting this in public. But my new guilty pleasure is very much becoming Snape Hermione. And those sorts of fics...
Oh, yeah, I'm cheering over here.
Don't... I know that you are. Don't talk to me about when a lioness fights. I'll read it when it's complete. I promise. But I've recently started reading those sorts of fics, and those are the fics where you see Draco as, like, coming... as coming around to the good side. I mean, one of the fics I recently read... I don't remember which one it was. I think it was... I want to say it was Before the Dawn. But don't read that if you're not 18. But, in that fic... you know, Draco was basically forced by his father to take the Dark Mark because he didn't know that there was an alternative. Like, he didn't know that Snape had been a Death Eater and got out of it. Like, he didn't know that that was an option. And when he finally found out, he was, like, he was furious. But by that point, it was too late. He was already a Death Eater. There was nothing he could do. So he, like, turned spy for the Order and kind of saved the day.
I think that's kind of an often done thing.
What did you say?
I mean, I think that's often done, that spying for the Order. Mm. But I know that there are a lot of canon shippers that don't read something just because it's not canon. But I think that, you know, of course there are some fics that do it ridiculously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but there are fics like that in every genre. There are fics where Harry and Ginny run off to Las Vegas and get married.
I think I read one of those.
Where...
I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, there are fics where, like, you know, Harry and Draco meet each other on the first day of Hogwarts and fall madly in love. I mean, there are fics that it is done ridiculously.
Yeah.
But there are also fics in most, if not all, genres that are done well. So, if you're reading a new genre and you encounter a bad fic, don't just, like, run away and say, I'm never going to read Draco Hermione or I'm never going to read Draco Ginny. You know, there are good fics out there. Try to get recommendations. Try to get the good fics, and don't get scared off if you read one bad fic in a genre, because usually it's not the entire genre.
Right.
I'm just saying this with Draco because it's more... You know, the non-canon ships are kind of a little more... How do I put this? Outside
they're
the box.
They're a little outside the box, and they're a little bit more difficult because you... Basically, the author can take the characters... usually a bunch of different ways, because for a lot of you know, the more obscure canon characters, there really isn't so much to go on, so you can go really any way you like. So sometimes the author takes a conventional route, and sometimes the author goes a little nuts. So if you're, like, just starting to get into a new genre, definitely find someone you trust and get their recommendations first, and don't just go onto fanfiction.net and search for, like, Draco Harry and see what comes up. Like, definitely get recommendations first.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that sometimes. It's like the guilty pleasure thing that you just want to read something of a particular genre. You don't care if it's good. You just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as actually reading fics, but I think there are also stories I've read, like AU ones, where I can buy them because they go back so far and retool his character. Like, say you go back to when Draco was, like, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Living with Danger does this. And you take him on a different path there, I'm okay with that, because I can, you know, it's believable.
Right,
you know,
because
you see
the transformation.
You change, I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, fanfic is essentially breaking a character off at a certain point and going in a different direction. And
right.
If you go to that point early enough, it isn't ridiculous, you know? I think that a lot of things can be done in fan fiction. You just have to find the way to do them well. You know what I mean?
I agree. So Dan, what are your thoughts on Draco in fanfiction? You haven't been saying too much.
Well, see, I'm one of those people who pretty much sticks to canon. But
yeah.
So sad.
But one of the things that... one of my favorite stories, which is Melinda Leo's The Seventh Horcrux, you do see that there are various ways in even which the canon people can take Draco. I mean, in that story, he's kind of redeemed. I mean, he doesn't spy for the Order, but he takes shelter there, and turns out in the end, I mean, he's never fully like buddy, let's go out to a bar and drink with Harry, but he becomes...
Wait, is that the one where he goes fishing with Ron?
No.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure that Draco ends up fishing with Ron a couple times in that fic.
He might towards the end, but it's a very gradual. I forget.
Sorry,
for certain, but
just that image.
But,
I know, isn't
it
hilarious?
I'm not laughing at the whole storyline. I'm just laughing at the image. I'm sorry.
But it is a very gradual progression, and I mean it's done in a very realistic. It's done in a very realistic way. So I mean, even canon writers can take pity on him. But
right,
I'm one of those people.
If I remember correctly, the Seventh Horcrux was he. Draco definitely, he ends up living in 12 Grimald Place for a while in order to take refuge in under the protection of the Order, and Narcissa is there too, and somehow he, like Voldemort tries to use legitimacy on Harry, and like Draco like intercepts it or something sort of like that.
Right.
Like, I haven't read Seventh Horcrux in a while, so the details are a little fuzzy to me, but something like that sort of happens. And so
as we are from a fanfiction community, do we want to give like two fics that we'd recommend as being good Draco fics, if we know any, since this is about fanfic Draco? Do you want to each give, like, one or two fics that we think give a good portrayal, not a, you know, Draco and Leather portrayal of Draco?
I would say, you guys are all going to kill me for this one, but I really like the way After the End handled Draco. Because they had to make up a lot of history, and they kind of made Draco a bad guy, but they definitely justified it. And I really like the way that they handled Draco. Like, I hated Draco by the time that fic was over.
So did
but
I
hated him for a reason. So that's number one. And second of all, if you are over 18, I recommend Before the Dawn by Snarky Roxy. It's smut, so you can't read it if you're too young. But I really do like the way that Draco was handled in that fic.
Here, run Ingrid next, Dan.
I'm just going to give the one that I've already given, because I'm not too much of a guy who likes to read Draco stuff. But if you want a nice portrayal of Draco that is realistic and doesn't include him being necessarily a bad guy, I'll go check out Melinda Leo's The Seventh Horcrux. It's also the one that everybody mistook as the real seventh book.
Right.
Okay, very good. I know, yes, Julie's going to hate me for this, but...
I'm not going to hate you. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it when it's finished.
You're driving me crazy because it's such a good story.
I know.
Okay, this is a bone of contention between us, but when Alina fights, it is currently in its 70th chapter, and probably like 3 chapters from being finished at this point. But it is a very good fic. What?
It's almost finished.
Oh, sorry.
That means I can almost read it.
Yes, it's almost finished. Because the reader had to go, the author had to go and get married at some point, so she was gone for a while. But anyway,
that happens.
It is a Snape Hermione fic, and Draco is not the main focus of the story, but it is a very good portrayal of Draco, in my opinion. It's a 7th year fic. It's written breaking off. I'm not sure if it's after 4 or after 5. It started quite a while ago, and it has Hermione, and this is one of those things where don't take it and say, oh, that's ridiculous, and then just not read it, because it sounds ridiculous, but it's really done well. Hermione is acting kind of in what Snape did as a spy for the Order, among the Death Eaters. So, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's a very, very well-written fic, and Draco has a very good character in that fic. Hermione befriended him and helped him when he was in that window that I was talking about. And his character develops, and it's really good. And then the second fic I'm going to recommend, mm-hmm. I haven't finished it in its entirety, but that's because it is really, really long. It's a 7-part story, and each part is about the length of, like, book 4.
Oh, dear.
So I'm working my way through it. It's called The Sacrifices Arc. It is a very, very good story, but my computer crashed, and I had it all in Word format, so I'm going to start reading it again. But this character is Draco, is kind of at a different point. It's a very different perspective of Draco, because Harry is entirely different, because basically Harry's entire life is slightly different. Harry has a brother, and I don't want to talk about the entire fic, because it's a very long and complex, very good, but very complex fic.
Right.
But Draco is a good friend of Harry, because it's different, and I feel like this is one of those things that you enjoy as a story. You don't necessarily enjoy it because it's an offshoot of canon. I mean, when I read this, I almost read this, it's a very good story, and it's a very good Draco characterization. Draco isn't that much different than he is in canon, but he got started off at a different point at age, like, 11, because he became friends with Harry. Because of different circumstances, was different. So, I know that's not a great explanation, but I don't want to get into explaining this entire 7-part series, because it will take about an hour.
Okay.
So, it is written by Lightning on the Wave, and you can find it on fanfiction.net, or you can just Google it. Yes. And I'd recommend it. Hopefully, I'll finish it before I am allowed to drive, so...
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Okay, I just want to clarify 2 things. The first of which is that the fic that I racked Before the Dawn, it is a Snape Hermione fic. So if that's going to squick you out, be aware. But Draco kind of is important in it towards the end. So definitely check it out if you're old enough, number one. And number two, I will read One of Lioness Fights. I promise.
I'm holding you to that.
I'm going to read it. I want to read it. And I just...
It's honestly the best fic I've ever read.
So. I'm going to tell you a story. And the story goes like this. One day, in my sophomore year in college, I was bored, and I was sitting around in my dorm room. I had finished all my homework, and I get this IM from my friend Sam, and Sam says to me, "Oh my god, Julia, I am reading the most amazing fic. It's called Rebirth. It's Harry, Ginny, Ron, Hermione. It's angsty. It's AU. You'll love it." I'm like, all right, I don't have anything else to do tonight. So, you know, send it along. So I'm reading it, and, you know, it's not so wonderful, but, you know, I don't have anything better to do, so I keep reading, and I keep reading, and as I'm reading, I'm getting more and more hooked into this fic. I'm reading, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is amazing! Ah! And I'm reading, and then right when Hermione's ex-boyfriend was about to go to her boss to tell the boss that there is something not quite right, and this would have had huge ramifications, the story stopped. Didn't end. Just stopped. And that was...
I know. I've had bad experiences.
That was 3 years ago now. And I still don't know how that ends. And it still just irritates the ever-living crap out of me. Especially since that fic is now totally abandoned. It's been, like, removed from the net. Nobody even knows where to find it anymore. And it still just bugs the crap out of me. And so ever since then, I don't read WIPs, just to be safe.
And I love talking to people about it. So I'm like, read it so I can talk to you about it. And I'm just kind of, like, I feel like a salesman. Because everyone I talk to, I recommend this fic to. Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, I'm pressing Julia here. So just so you know, I'm not trying to just press it on her. I tell everyone I meet on Potterfic Weekly and everywhere to read this fic, so...
Yeah. And I will read it. As soon as it's finished, I will read it. Okay, so...
So since we've apparently put Dan to sleep on the other end, since...
Wake up, Dan! We still have 2 more songs left!
What was that?
So the two...
Do you want to introduce the next song to make sure you're awake?
So, was any of the... Were any of those a Draco Hermione...
I don't think they were, actually.
And you know why?
No, they weren't.
Because Hermione might be hot, but she's a mudblood.
Oh, that's right.
So the next song is Hermione Might Be Hot by Hogwarts Trainwreck. Enjoy.
And wait, no, after that. after that, because this is the last one, we have to do this. After that, guys, I'm so excited. This is the song after that is called Stay By My Side by the Whomping Willows, and it's the first song off the new Whomping Willows album that we have played on this podcast.
And pick it up.
It's kind of, sort of like a fan fiction, because Draco is like a friend of the Whomping Willows.
Right, the Whomping Willows.
Like the little world.
The
so
Whomping
it's kind
Willows
of like a Whomping
two
Willow fan fiction.
Right. In Whompy Land, the Whomping Willows' two best friends are Hagrid and Draco. So it's pretty awesome. And by the way, if you guys haven't bought 3 yet, like, what on God's green earth are you waiting for? Go get it. It's on iTunes. You can get it on his MySpace. You can get it if you happen to catch him whomping the house. Pick it up. It's such a good album. It's so worth the $10 or whatever it is. Yeah, go buy it. So here is Hermione Might Be Hot by Hogwarts Trainwreck, followed by Stay By My Side by the Whomping Willows.
There's a girl that's sweeter than I thought a girl could be. But alas, the class she's in means hands off for me. Hermione might be hot, but she's a mudblood. Hermione might be hot. Hermione might be hot, but she's a mudblood. Hermione might be hot. Oh well, Hermione might be hot, but she's a mudblood, so we ought to beat her up. Her parents are muggles, so I'm gonna get in trouble, but still Hermione Granger's hot. She cleaned up knives at the Yule Ball dance. I couldn't help but stare. She was with Crumb, that creepy Quidditch bum, and I don't know why I even care. My rich dad says to stay away, cause she's not a worthy witch. And on the balance, if I treasure my allowance, well, I shouldn't get within an inch. My heart is slithering, but still it's a withering every time she's in the room. It's so troubled that my cauldron is bubbling. I wanna let her ride my broom. How could I let her steal my heart? It's got to be a spell. And I've got a notion I will slip the potion. She handled the wand so well. My rich dad says to stay away. She's not a worthy witch. And on the balance, treasure my allowance, well, I shouldn't get within an inch. She's not a worthy witch. And on the balance, if I treasure my allowance, well, I shouldn't get within an inch. My heart is slithering, but still it's a withering every time she's in the room. It's so troubling, my cauldron is bubbling. I want to let her ride my broom. How could I let her steal my heart? It's got to be a spell. And I got a notion I would spit the potion. She handled the wand so well. And my rich dad says to stay away. She's not a worthy witch. And on the balance, if I treasure my allowance, I shouldn't give within an inch.
Welcome back to Story and a Song. As you know by now, this is the part in which we read some fanfiction and play a song that goes with it. It's our little nod to Potterfic Weekly, our parent podcast. Anyway, this week's episode is about Draco Malfoy, and in keeping with that theme, we have a song about Draco for you, and a story, which is also about Draco. This week, Story and a Song is going to center around a fic and a song in which Draco cannot kill Dumbledore, which, as we all know, was a very big moment for Draco's character. So here we have both a story and a song about it. The story is called The Last Choice, and it's by Nigellus. You can find it over on fanfiction.net. And all right, here we go. The Last Choice. Draco's wand shook as he stared up at the old man, the wizard who he had always thought to be unattainable. Constantly beyond his grasp, and now stood before him helpless. He had Dumbledore at his mercy. Everyone had thought that Draco would fail, that he was good as dead, but he had succeeded. He would be honored above all the Dark Lord's followers. The rest would be nothing compared to him. Draco felt his head spin as that realization sank in. While sprinting up the winding stone stairs that led up to the astronomy tower, Draco had not thought that he could defeat Dumbledore. He had not thought his current situation possible. Then again, he had not thought much at all. As he ran through the castle, his mind had been a whirlwind of thoughts, fears, and fervent hopes, each more muddled than the next. Now those thoughts were gone, and his mind painfully clear. He took in the truth of his situation with agonizing lucidity, and suddenly wished that it were still obscured with desultory thoughts. But no such distractions came. He had no excuse to ignore the task before him, for he knew that there was no question as to what he must do. The choice had been made months before as he knelt before the tall, cloaked figure that had threatened all he held dear. It was an honor to be assigned the task of killing Dumbledore, Draco reminded himself. This was a chance many would kill for. But then again, they had killed before. He had not. And while the two words that would end Dumbledore's life should have been easy to speak, he could not bring himself to say them. He knew he had not lost the power of speech, he thought hysterically. His lengthy conversation with Dumbledore had proved that. But he could not form those two words that were so vital to his continued existence, to his father's existence, to his mother's existence. Draco felt himself pale even more, if this were at all possible. The sweaty hand that held his wand shook a little more as he desperately considered what to do. Dumbledore wanted him to fake his death and go into hiding. He had offered to hide his mother as well. Could he truly turn his back on his world and side with Dumbledore? Draco's head swam with the possibility. Voldemort had told him he would kill him and his family if he failed. He had gotten this far, but could not finish the task. Dumbledore handed him a way to save his father. But no. His father would consider it a betrayal. He could envision Lucius Malfoy's cold, gray eyes narrowed in hatred, gazing at him scornfully, his lips twisted into a derisive sneer, his face full of disgust. Yet, if he went with Dumbledore, Draco would not be forced to kill. It was not as easy as his father had made it seem. He would be safe. He would no longer wake in the middle of the night drenched in cold sweat after yet another nightmare of having failed the Dark Lord in the inevitable consequences that followed such failure. He would not have to fear his mother. He could save her. Draco shook himself. Could he really be at Dumbledore's mercy? The man was a filthy mudblood lover, he reminded himself. No doubt Potter would find out and gloat. Inexplicably, none of this mattered anymore. Petty school rivalries and grudges seemed somehow distant and removed, as if they had happened to someone else. One thought had surfaced in his mind. He did not want to die. Slowly, he lowered his wand. The door behind him suddenly burst open, and Draco was shoved aside. The Death Eaters, Draco concluded, had won. Draco started as he noticed Fenrir Greyback. He gagged as the werewolf moved towards him as the stench of sweat and blood filled his nose. Draco carefully edged away. He was vaguely aware that Dumbledore was speaking. He heard Fenrir's raspy voice reply, but found it impossible to focus on the conversation. A cold, heavy weight filled his stomach. He had no choice now. Draco shut his eyes and took a deep breath. His eyes sprang open as he heard Dumbledore speak his name. "Draco here invited you, of all people, into the school where his friends live?" "I didn't," Draco countered in a strained voice. He had not known that the werewolf would be coming. As much as he may have boasted at Borgin and Burke's, Draco did not feel nearly comfortable enough around the werewolf to count him as a friend. In fact, if he was perfectly candid with himself, which he rarely was, Draco would admit that he was simply terrified of Fenrir Greyback. For some inexplicable reason, it had suddenly seemed crucial that Dumbledore understand the situation. "I didn't know he was going to come." I wouldn't want to miss a trip to Hogwarts, Dumbledore," Greyback's rasping voice cut in. "Not when there are thousands of throats to be ripped out. Delicious, delicious." Revolted, Draco shuddered. He wasn't really going to rip out students' throats, was he? Draco remembered Pansy. She did not know about the attack. She would not be prepared. What if Greyback attacked her? Surely he had orders not to attack students from loyal families, Draco desperately reasoned. Perhaps he would only attack the mudbloods and blood traitors. Draco suddenly envisioned a bloody Hermione Granger and shuddered. The idea made him feel sick. It was only because the mudblood looked even more repulsive than usual with her face ripped up, he told himself. It was not as if he would really mind. He was not quite sure. He was not quite as certain of this as he ought to have been. Voices broke through his thoughts. "Come on, Draco, do it." He raised his wand, but the shaking was uncontrollable. His throat was now completely dry. "Now, Draco, quickly." He could not hold his wand steadily. "Draco, do it or stand aside so one of us..." Draco realized his entire body was shaking. He was sure he was going to vomit any second. He knew he could not kill Dumbledore, and the Dark Lord would torture him, kill him even. The door burst open and Snape swept into the crowded room. Draco fixed his eyes on the man who he knew would kill the headmaster. He could not even force himself to resent Snape for stealing his glory. Draco jerked his head towards Dumbledore as the wizard spoke. "Severus." Draco wondered incredulously whether the old man was going to beg for his life, or did he still believe Snape to be on his side. "Severus, please." But it was too late for Dumbledore, because Snape raised his wand and did what Draco could not. He saw the green light flash and watched awestruck as the man he had always hated, yet seen as indestructible, fell to the ground, never to rise again. His head filled with a dull buzz. Draco felt Snape push him through the door and down the winding stairway. He was barely aware of the ongoing fray as he and Snape ran through the castle, dodging curses. The events of the night seemed to have passed beyond the realm of reality. Draco hardly felt a stitch in his side. Snape blasted the front doors open, and Draco ducked, narrowly avoiding the splinters that flew his way. They sprinted across the grounds. As he neared the gate, Draco turned to Snape, only to realize that his professor was not there. He spotted Snape some 20 feet away, his wand out, facing Potter. At any other time, Draco would have fervently wished for Snape to finish St. Potter off, but the only living feeling he could summon up at that moment was the fear of being caught. Impatience cursed through him as he wondered why couldn't Snape hurry up with the boy who lived and come help him. Events had fun spar out of his control. He felt absolutely lost. When everyone at Hogwarts discovered that he had initiated the terrible events of that night, they would surely kill him. He had to escape. But where to? The Dark Lord would also want to kill him. He had failed to complete the task. Snape would help him, he thought desperately. Gone were all thoughts of keeping the potions master at bay and keeping the glory for himself. Only survival mattered. Draco glimpsed that Snape had gotten rid of Potter and was running towards him. He felt his professor push him through the school gate. He grabbed Snape's arm and felt himself being apparated away. As his home of 6 years vanished and the darkness pressed in from all sides, Draco realized that his fate had been set. He had a choice on the astronomy tower when Dumbledore had been alive, but he had not made up his mind quickly enough, and his choice had been made for him. There was no return to his former life. He knew which path he had to take, but not what it held in store for him. The end. So that fic was called The Last Choice by Nigellus. We'll put the link up in the show notes for you, so you can check it out if you like. And the song we have to go along with it is called Second Thoughts by Malfoy Manor. If any of you guys have never heard Malfoy Manor, you should recognize the voice anyway, because it comes from Zoe of Split Seven Ways. This is one of her other bands. She has a lot. I don't know how many, but this is another one of her bands. It's a pretty awesome song, and I hope that you guys will like it. So I will see you all at the end. Enjoy the song!
Be my finest hour, but this is wrong.
dreams concern an end too deep. Can't take the pain, can't escape from what's been vowed. I should run away, erase the stain, but it's too late to turn back now. Expelliarmus!
Hello, and welcome to A Muggle's Alternative to Wizard Rock, version 6. I don't know how many of you noticed, but Julia's streak has not gone on, so being the nice guy that I am, I decided to do a Remus Lupin's song for this week. So the song that I've got for you right now is Beyond the Veil. This is a bit of a stray from Alex's normal. It's a bit more subdued, like the rest of his music. This is a chord-based song. So please, enjoy Beyond the Veil by the Remus Lupins.
Come back from beyond the veil. Stopping.
Song we've got for you this week is actually one of my favorite Muggle songs, period. It's Cookie Jar by Jack Johnson. He's more of a adult alternative band. He's a little bit influenced by reggae, actually, although no one would ever in their right minds turn him a reggae band. Like the Remus Lupin song we just heard, this is a chord-based song. There's a little bit of a melodic instrumental part, but overall, it's chord-based. This is predominantly an instrumental song. While the lyrics are very, very important to the song, they make it. The vocal is just an overlay on top of the bass chords. Alright? please enjoy Jack Johnson's Cookie Jar.
And I would turn on the TV, but it's so embarrassing to see all the other people. I don't know what they mean. And it was magic at first when they spoke without sound, but now this world is gonna hurt. You better turn that thing down. Turn it around. Well, it wasn't me, says the boy with the gun. Sure, I pulled the trigger, but it needed to be done, because life's been killing me ever since it begun. You can't blame me, cause I'm too young. You can't blame me, sure, the killer was my son, but I didn't teach him to pull the trigger of the gun. It's the killing on this TV screen. You can't blame me, it's those images he sees. Says the media man, well, I wasn't the one who came up with the plan. And I just pulled my camera, what the people wanna see, man. It's a two-way mirror and you can't blame me. You can't blame me, says the singer of the song, or the maker of the movie which it bases life on. It's only entertainment, and as anyone can see, smoke machines and make a man, you can't fool me. It was you, it was me, it was every man. We've all got the blood on our hands. We only receive what we demand. And if we want hell, then hell's what we'll have. I would turn on the TV, but it's so embarrassing to see all the other people don't even know what they mean. And it was magic at first, but let everyone down. And now this world is gonna hurt. You better turn it.
So guys, we've reached the end of our podcast. Yay!
Oh, by the way, Julia, just to make sure.
Yeah.
So we all have to repeat that, but I'm pretty sure Teenage Werewolf is a parody of Teenage Wasteland, but I can't verify that yet.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Whatever, you can throw it in there anyway.
So if Teenage Werewolf is Teenage Wasteland, that's going to be what I'm going to do. So I don't know if anybody knows for sure.
Right.
So, what can we conclude about Draco's character from today?
Well, I think we can conclude that everyone has a slightly different perspective of Draco's character.
Yes, especially the fanfic writers.
Especially the fanfic writers. And just to be clear, even though I sympathize with Draco, my perspective does not involve him in leather. Just to make that clear.
No, that is Jen.
Indeed.
That's Jen's domain.
That's Jen. And we love you, Jen. But the rest of us could take or leave the leather.
So young girls, let us end on this note. I mean, you guys. I mean, people listening. The words from J.K. Rowling: do not fangirl
making
Draco.
Movies about my years. She, at Hogwarts.
Even though she's saying that, I'm not sure how many people are going to listen in the fandom, honestly.
Right,
no,
you know why?
Snape, they just have that appeal.
You know why?
You'll always be the bad boy.
Why?
Tom Felton's
kinda
hot.
Kind of hot.
Yeah.
I mean, even Draco Malfoy would agree with us, so...
Yeah.
You know, can't really be wrong on that one.
So, for now, that is it from us.
On that hopeful note.
Exactly. We should probably stop saying "on that note." We say that a lot.
Yes,
we gotta come up with a better phrase.
Well, we're a music thing. We can say "on that note."
Oh, clever.
Music rock podcast.
So... All right, that's it from us. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. We would like to apologize for the slightly erratic schedule that we've been on lately. You know, Dan hit his head, and then life has attacked for a lot of us. We were supposed to have a special guest on this episode, but that fell through last minute. So we've been a little crazy, but hopefully we should get back on a pretty regular schedule soon, provided that nothing else too horrific happens.
Yeah, I feel like my Zamir drill is going to be next as far as getting something, because I feel like it's the whole part of the circle of podcasts. It's like you join it, and then you kind of put yourself on the line for getting a concussion, getting attacked by something, falling on ice.
Having to spend an additional night in Missouri because of snow in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That happened to you, so I'm next. Okay, I'm worried now.
Oh, you are next. Good luck.
Make sure to wear your helmet out.
Yeah, there's ice around here. I'm going to be, not leaving the house anymore. Okay.
So we're going to go over to the other room now and talk about our impending doom. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Dan, say goodbye.
Goodbye.